Welcome to Shepherd Church. Everybody doing good today? I want you to thank all the people involved with the worship today, if you can. We are, we're excited for the Christmas weekend, Christmas Eve services, and everything that God has in store, even for the rest of today. We are one church on four different campuses. I think we have 12 or 14 different services, and so we thank you for coming to one of those services, Agua Dulce, West Valley, West LA, and Porter Ranch. And let's thank all the people that are here today in church. If we can do that, that'd be great. I saw on Twitter this little hashtag that said, if Santa were a cat. And there were several answers. One is that everything would be perfect. That was one. And he would be called, if Santa was a cat, he would be called Santa Paws or Claws. I want to show you this one. If Santa was a cat, the elves would all be kittens, all right? Now, how many of you cat people like that one? You like that one? Well, here's the best one. If Santa were a cat, he'd knock over the tree instead of putting presents underneath the tree. And how many of you know that's true? That's just true. Okay, all right. Well, enough of the silliness. We've been in a series, if you're a guest here, all month long, and I know some of you are here for the very first time, but all month long, we've been looking at the music of Christmas. And we started off looking at the song, O Little Town of Bethlehem. And we had one word that we thought and talked about was the word culmination, and that is that the night that Jesus was born, it was the culmination of all the Old Testament prophecies. The Old Testament pointing that one day the Messiah would arrive. Then we looked at the word proclamation, and we looked at the song, Go Tell It on the Mountain. And we looked at that spiritual song and the truth behind that and the story that we're to take this message, the truth and the reality of Christmas, and go tell it over the hill and everywhere. Last week, Kyle spoke on the subject or the song, Joy to the World. And I hope that you were blessed by the message last week. And the word, the thought was celebration, that this is a celebration and that Jesus did come to bring us joy and to bring us peace. And all God's people said. Amen. Today, the last word, the fourth part of this whole month's long series is the word salvation. I want you to say the word salvation. And that's what Christmas, as Tim talked about, in our communion meditation at Porter Ranch, that Jesus came so that you and I might be saved. And how many of you are thankful for that? You're thankful for that. So today, I'm going to walk over here. I want to take you back to the year 1847. Everybody say 1847. So I just walked almost 200 years back in our history. To a small French town you've probably never heard of, there was a wine merchant who wrote one of the most famous Christmas songs in the history of the entire world. His name was Placide Capot. I want to share with you the miracle of how this song came to be. No one expected Placide to be a songwriter. His father, as I mentioned, was a wine seller and expected his son to be a wine seller as well. But at the age of 8, he lost one of his hands due to an accident, but in the process, almost strange, he gained a desire to be a writer. And as he grew, he developed a reputation in his community as being a bit of a poet. He eventually took over his father's wine business, but he was surprised one day when a local priest approached him and asked him to write a poem for their Christmas Mass. Now, Placide was not a faithful church attender. He didn't go to church. So he was amazed to see this priest at his door with such a request. But as an aspiring poet, he could not refuse the opportunity. And so, while on a bumpy coach ride to the city of Paris, Placide opened his barely used Bible to the Gospel of Luke for inspiration. And as he read over the words of the Christmas story, he put himself standing there beside that manger as the Savior of the world was born. The words of the gospel filled him. Moved by the story in the scriptures, he wrote down three verses of a poem and called it Cantique de Noël. And from the moment he was finished, Placide knew that he had written something exceptional and that the words of this poem should be heard as widely as possible. The words had to be set to music. So at once, he contacted a friend of his named Adolphe Adam to turn his poem into a song. Now, Adolphe was a famous composer in France, an author of operas and ballets performed all around the globe. Yet the lyrics written by his friend were a unique challenge. After all, Adolphe was a man of Jewish ancestry. The man who wrote this music did not even believe that Jesus was the promised Messiah. Think of the irony of that truth. However, Adolphe, even though he did not believe in Jesus, was swept up by the power of the lyrics, and he composed the music that would accompany Placide's poem. 3 weeks later, the song was performed at a midnight mass, and it became popular in France. Quickly adopted this song, and it was performed at church services throughout all of France. It was one of the most loved songs in the entire country. But just as soon as the church at that time had embraced this song, they just as soon hid it away. For Placide Cappel, the author of this poem, he walked away from the church, and he joined the socialist movement growing in France. And when the leaders of the church in France discovered this news, along with the Jewish ancestry of the composer, they censored the song, and they deemed this song unfit to ever be sung again. Imagine that. But as always, God has the final word. A song with such power could not remain hidden forever. Though early church leaders prohibited it, the French people defiantly continued to sing it. Now jump forward 10 years, an American, here in America, in Massachusetts, a man by the name of John Sullivan Dwight, he grabbed hold of this song. Now Mr. John Sullivan Dwight was an interesting character himself. He had been aspired to be a preacher, but he suffered, and this is not good for a preacher, terrible bouts of stage fright. Every time he got up to preach before his congregation, he would become physically ill from anxiety. And every Sunday, his panic attacks got worse and worse, so much that he stopped going out in public altogether. His ministry, it seemed, was finished. However, he did not give up. He was a vastly intelligent man, a lover of music, and so he put his gifts to use by editing a publication known as Dwight's Journal of Music. Through his newsletter, he found a way to inspire Christian musicians in the United States. He would scour the world to find new Christian music to share, and in his searching, he came upon that French carol, Cantique de Noël. Not only did he believe that this song needed to find its place here in America, but there was something so profound about the words that spoke directly to his core. It was the first words of the third verse that read, "Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease." As an abolitionist, a man deeply opposed to slavery that he saw in America at that time, these words rang loud and true. Here in this song about the Christmas story, he found the truth that spoke closely to his heart, that all are created equal, and that the command of Christ for each and every one of us is to love one another. And he was convinced that this song could produce an awakening for the nation to cast aside the sin of slavery and to embrace their fellow sisters and brothers. John Sullivan Dwight's translation of Cantique de Noël found a brand new title, O Holy Night. He published the song in his journal, and it soon found its way into songbooks and sanctuaries all across America. And as the country approached the Civil War, the song emboldened the Union, and encouraged them to fight for freedom of every man, woman, and child. Even today, this simple Christmas carol holds untold power for us. And the reason why is because of what the song is about, the birth of Jesus Christ. When we contemplate about that night, the sanctity and the splendor of Jesus coming to earth in human flesh, we realize that what happened on that holy and divine night still has the power to heal our world today. There's a story that is often told about this song. It was Christmas Eve in the year 1870, 148 years ago, in the middle of the Franco-Prussian War. As the German and the Prussian forces were winning ground, the countryside of France had been turned into a bitter battlefield. And on that Christmas Eve night, as the story is told, one French soldier stood up from his trench with his rifle lowered, completely defenseless. The German forces were puzzled at the sight of him. But then that French soldier began to sing these words.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder waits a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night divine, oh, night, oh, night divine.
And on that battlefield, when he finished that song, there was silence. And then a German soldier got up from his trench and sang out a Christmas hymn from his country. And after that, more and more singing followed, and there was peace on that battlefield. For 24 hours, all because one French soldier decided to stand and to sing and remind every man on that battlefield what mattered most. That Jesus Christ came to this earth as a child on the holiest of nights. My heart breaks for this country of ours. There are battles being fought on every corner, in our churches, in our schools, in our courtrooms, in our homes, in our marriages, in our children's lives. Look at the media, look at our government, even our social media sites. Everywhere we turn, the battle rages. You cannot turn on a television set or a news feed without becoming emotionally entangled in some divisive debate in this country today. You need to know that there is no political solutions to the issues that we face. There is no scientific discovery that will cause us to love one another. There's no clever tweet or soundbite that will suddenly awaken us. The only thing that will heal this world is the truth that Jesus was born as an infant, that he lived a perfect life, that he died on a cross for our sins, that he was buried, that he rose again, and then he taught us to love God and to love all people. And you see, only when we understand that love that Jesus showed us upon the cross will we be able to adequately and completely love one another. Jesus alone is the one who can heal our broken and empty hearts. He alone can heal our divided and morally bankrupt nation. Jesus alone can remove the stain and guilt of sin in our lives. He alone can forgive the one who needs forgiveness, and He is the one that brings eternal peace to the one that is drowning in despair. All of this starts when we, like Placide Capot, can imagine ourselves standing there beside the manger on the holiest of nights. Because when he saw himself there, something captured him, and he wrote some of the most beautiful words the world has ever known. When a Jewish composer saw himself there, he created music that has lifted souls for some 200 years. When a soldier saw himself there, he threw down his weapon and brought peace to a battlefield. What will happen when you see yourself there? Can you use your imagination and see yourself in the small town of Bethlehem, perched high on a hill overlooking the Judean countryside? Watch the farmers come in from a hard day's work, wiping the sweat from their brows and washing the dirt from their hands. Watch the shepherds begin their night shift, leading their flocks out to pasture with a staff in one hand and a rod in the other to keep them safe. It begins to get cold, and a chill rises in the air. As you breathe, you can see your breath. You knock on a door asking for a place to stay that night, but that home is already packed with family. You try another door and another. They all send you away. But then you hear a cry. A distant cry, piercing the night. The cry of an infant who has just been born. Compelled by the cry, you look and you see a sky, in the sky a brilliant star bursting its light upon the roofs over Bethlehem. And beckoned by the star, you follow, and the sound of that infant's cry grows louder. And you walk beside a home and you see a barn, a humble structure suitable only for farm animals. You see a donkey or two, a flock of sheep, a lamb. Beyond the animals, you look closer and you see two figures huddled together trying to keep warm. And in the mother's arms, you see him, a baby, a baby. But there's something different about this child. Because when you see him, when you hear him, when you meet him, you know that there's nothing ordinary about this child. There's something about the look in his eyes. He is perfect in every way. He is, how shall we say it, he's divine. And then it hits you. You are completely overwhelmed and in awe as you realize that you are looking at a king. You're looking at a wonderful counselor, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the mighty God. You're looking at Emmanuel, God with us, the Son of God, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the salvation of all who believe, the salvation of the entire world. And as you look into that manger, your emotions are unleashed and the tears fall as you finally understand how one night could be so sacred, how the stars could shine so brightly, how the angels above could sing so sweetly. And you understand how in His name every chain could break and how every oppression could cease. And you understand how through His ministry all mankind could be taught to love one another. And you understand that through Him and only Him can we find the thrill of hope for a better future and an eternal kingdom. And you understand how through Him you would find and receive salvation. And you understand this truth, that it is indeed one holy night. Amen? There's one last story to tell about this song. On Christmas Eve in the year 1906, a university professor in Pittsburgh named Reginald Fessenden accomplished something that had never been done before. Using a generator and a microphone, he became the first man to ever broadcast his voice over the airwaves. No one before had ever done this. And you can just imagine the surprise of sailors at sea or radio controllers who, for the first time, instead of hearing the empty tones of Morse code, they heard a human voice. And what did Reginald Fressenden say over the airwaves, the first broadcast voice in human history, the first words ever spoken over such airwaves? He said these words.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn.
After he had finished reading from the Christmas story in the Gospel of Luke, Reginald Fessenden pulled out his violin and began to play a song. And the first song ever played over the airwaves in the United States of America was the song with the simple and moving melody, O Holy Night. On that evening in 1906, over 100 years ago, what began as a poem written in a bumpy carriage, set to music by a Jewish composer, discovered by a stage fright-stricken preacher, sung on a French battlefield and echoed over the airwaves, the song that we call O Holy Night, has reverberated throughout the entire world. O Holy Night has been sung in every tongue and in every tribe and in every nation. Every Christmas, that song brings people to the foot of the manger to experience the holiest night in all of history. The question that remains is, what does this song mean to you? What do you hear when those words are sung? What the shepherds and the angels heard on the holy night, the cry of a newborn king, the Messiah, the Son of God, was the greatest miracle ever to be accomplished. For God clothed himself in human flesh, descended to earth, and was born as a human child. And he became the peace our world so desperately seeks. This Christmas, look past the presents. Look past the lights and the Christmas trees. Look past all the commercials. Look past the war playing out on the news. And look past your fears and look past your doubts. Let it all fade away and simply see the Son of God lying in a manger, Jesus Christ our Lord. And see yourself there on that holy night and discover the peace that heals all humanity. And hear his personal invitation to you and accept by faith Jesus as your gift from God this Christmas Eve.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining, it is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Oh, long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul fell its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Born. Oh, night.
All God's people said.
Amen.
How many of you are just glad she was singing that, not you right there? I mean, that was pretty good right there. Amen. We want you to take your candle. This is the last thing we do is we light our candles. And does everyone have a candle? All right, good for you. And we want you to be careful with this, especially if you're sitting with a young person. And we have asked just the ushers, if the ushers would come up, those that have already been designated. See if I can figure out how to do this. There's supposed to be a button here. Huh? I'm pulling the trigger. There we go. I didn't want to shoot anybody. Okay. So you all are going to stay right where you are. I'm going to light this candle here, and we're going to light... Some of the ushers are going to come up near you, and you're just going to, let me tell you how to do this. There you go. Here's how you do this, okay, just for fun. You have to hold the candle upright, and you take the other one and hold it upside down like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm a professional at this, just so you know. Light a couple here real quick next to you if you can. Glad you came tonight, right? All right. Again, be very careful if you can. We're going to give you just a minute. I'll have you play a little bit. Getting there. All right. So we want you to lift that candle up above your head. We maybe turn the lights down a little bit more. And look at all the candles. Amen. And all that came from this one candle right here. One person taking the light and sharing it with the next person who shared it with another. And in that same way, the love of Christ, the grace of Christ, the gospel of Christ is shared from one person to another. And if you can light a candle, if you can share this, you can share Jesus with someone as well. Amen. So take the next couple days as we get closer to Christmas and make sure you tell people that Jesus Christ came into this world to bring us peace, to bring us joy, to bring us everlasting life. Amen. We're going to sing a couple of verses of Silent Night. Just sing along with us, if you would, please.
Heavenly hosts sing out.
me say a word of prayer for each and every one of you, okay? Can I do that? Let's pray. God, I ask that this Christmas that you would take us back to that night, that holy night, 2,000 years ago when you sent your Son into this world in the form of a baby. God became flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. And he lived a sinless life and went to the cross, and he died there for the sins of the world. He died for my sins. He died for the sins of everyone in this room, everyone who's listening. God, we thank you that there were those who captured songs and stories that we know from our history of lives and even nations that have been changed because of the power of this child that was born. And I ask, God, that we would know that the child Jesus can change anyone's life here today. And if there's anyone here today, God, who's searching, if there's anyone here today who's empty, if there's anyone here today that has never put their faith in Jesus Christ, God, I pray that before this day is over that they will make such decision. Lord, that we would invite Christ into our life, that we would be baptized into his name, that we would become your sons and your daughters. And help us from this day forward, God, to take this love, to take this light, to take this message, this story, this salvation, and to share it with all in whom we come in contact with. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen,
amen, amen.